Hey geeks, welcome to a very special episode 80. I'm your host, Kate. On this episode, we are joined by our great friend, Les, and our other great friends, the Pop-Tards guys, JD, Optimus Douche, and Bug, and we talk all things Age of Ultron. It was rather last minute that we all joined forces, so it sounds a little jumbled. We didn't really go through and edit anything out, just to keep all the goodness in there for you guys, and just so you know, there's just a little bit of swearing as opposed to some of our usual shows. But other than that, we all really love the film. We had a great hour just geeking out over Age of Ultron, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All Geek to Me Radio's Age of Ultron a-thon.
Yeah, this is a team up.
For the first time ever.
Who is with you? Who is on your side?
So with me on my side is my co-pilot and co-host, Em.
Hey.
And our dear friend, Les.
Hi, everyone.
And we have all seen the movie, and we are fully prepared to talk about whatever.
Awesome. Well, hopefully the movie, I'd assume.
Well, yeah, you know.
So I am Pop-Tart host Johnny Destructo. With me is Optimus Douche from Ain't It Cool News. Say hi, brother.
Hey there, hi there, ho there.
And Ambush Bug.
Hello.
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 I just finished a burrito.
Dodo. Digesting.
We have also seen the Age of Ultron film and
twice.
Are also prepared.
And in true Marvel fashion, we should fight first. And then we will team up against the common enemy.
And then we will all become friends.
And then
friends.
We'll fight some more.
Yes. Then we'll fight again in a civil war.
Yes. Well done.
So for the listeners who don't know, I don't know why you would be listening to this, but there is a film out. It's a sequel. It's called Avengers Age of Ultron. And it is by, was it written and directed by? Joss
written and directed by.
Written and directed.
Oh my God.
That's why I quit Twitter today.
I saw that.
Poor guy.
Aw. He quit Twitter?
Aww.
He did.
Yeah.
I think the poor guy just needs a break. It's been a long couple years for him.
Yeah, apparently he's a racist and a sexist now.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Oh, is he? I missed that memo.
I missed that too.
And an anti-feminist. He's all sorts of.
I'm pretty sure I haven't been watching the same films or TV shows of these other people.
Yeah, hasn't he been like a feminist icon for the past decade or so?
Yes, he has been.
Yeah. He's kind of my hero, and now everyone hates him for no reason.
Maybe Twitter dropped him, the misogynist bastard.
Yeah.
What's the real story? What's going on?
From what I glean, it looks like people are upset that Black Widow was a damsel in distress in this film that we're to discuss.
Which I don't think we were watching the same film as them, if that's what they took away from it.
She saved Banner three times.
Yeah.
But there was a scene where she's captured by Ultron, and she's there tied up and waiting
True,
to be rescued.
But she did alert them to where she was
right,
in order to
right.
be rescued.
She wasn't
she was just sitting there waiting.
And she had that badass scene where she's on the motorcycle and she picks up Cap's shield and
mm-hmm. yeah
and all that stuff with the motorcycle. That was amazing.
It's a bunch of bunk is what it is.
Yeah. It is. Exactly.
People are dumb. So anyway, all right. Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner, James Spader as Ultron.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Olsen, she's an addition. She plays Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch. Paul Bettany joins the cast with his actual physical being this time. He's usually the voice of Jarvis.
So exciting.
But he gets more to do. Who else? Someone else?
Quicksilver.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Pietro.
So
and Samuel L. Jackson. Did you say
and
him?
And Samuel L. Jackson.
I didn't. Don Cheadle.
Never forget.
Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
Maggie Haley Atwell.
Ridiculous cast.
Idris Elba. Just throw out all the Marvel
actors. All of them.
Everyone except for Pepper and Jane, which is fine.
Which was kind of weird.
Which great, was fine, by the way.
All right. So let's start with our positives. Hey, why don't you go ahead?
Someone jump in.
Someone jump in. I loved the quippy lines. Like, it was very, very much Joss Whedon written. Anyone who's a Whedon fan, I think, could sort of pick out, like, classic Joss Whedon lines. And then it was very humorous.
Well, the fact that Ultron was actually snarky as opposed to just menacing.
That was
true.
Hilarious.
Yes, he had the Tony snark.
He had the Tony snark going, yes.
Well, I mean, I think that also has a lot to do with the fact that James Spader was the voice. I mean, he always has that droll kind of tone to his voice.
Yes.
Like, he's better than everyone else.
That's exactly how it came
because
off.
Because he is.
He is.
He's Blaine, motherfucker. He's Blaine. He'll always be Blaine. The positive for me was the fact that the movie had nothing to do with that hard fucking story that ran in the comic last year.
Oh, Age of Ultron.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. Same name, nothing to do with one another except the robot.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, so that was good. That was positive.
All right.
Bonus.
No. Non-suck.
I like it when my movies don't suck.
Agreed.
And they had a kitchen table. They had a kitchen table scene, Bug. I'm sure you love that.
Was there a kitchen table scene?
There was.
A rather likely one, and then a discussion about what they do with the kitchen table renovations when he got back. Yes.
There was a lot of talk afterwards with my group that we went about just Hawkeye's renovations, and we want a movie of just Hawkeye doing home improvement.
I think everyone would go see that movie.
You know
that
what?
Would
I would go
best
see that movie.
Short. That should be on the DVD.
He doesn't use a nail gun. He uses the bow.
Yeah, he just shoots the nails
shoots
in.
The nails through the bow? Yeah.
The very tiny bow.
The short will be called Hawkeye on the Farm.
Makes our seven babies.
Oh my god. I know a lot of people were pretty upset about the fact that they gave Hawkeye a family, and I absolutely loved that plot line. I thought it was great, and it was this secret family that one had heard of. Boom. I thought it was great. I loved it. And
yeah, me too.
I didn't have any love for, but I also didn't have an incredible problem with the fact that there was a little bit of a romance going on between Black Widow and Natasha and Banner.
Listen, I could have done without that.
I could have done without it because I think my superhero movies don't need it.
Agreed.
On the other hand, and I've had 4 days to digest this now, I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, so Joss, what are you doing? You're trying to give us a romance where there doesn't need to be one, but at the same time, if you look at the way the two of them talk to each other, and Banner being like, I can't have a family, like, this just can't happen, and then Black Widow coming out with the whole, like, I was sterilized by the Red Room thing, that's a heavy thing for women to have to deal with. So mm-hmm. I think he gave her character something else to grow with. I don't think it took anything away from her.
I mean, there was a justification with it. I like my superhero movies without romance.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be in there. It doesn't
necessarily need to be there.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I liked her role in Winter Soldier.
Mm. Yes.
I think it was great.
Yes.
There was a little sexual tension there, but not really. It was just more of just like, these
flirting.
Were two people on the run together.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in any other movie, they would have like forced them to be together and it would have been forced. But I liked it that... I like her relationship with Steve, just that they're like flirting a little bit, but she uses that just to kind of manipulate him at the beginning, but then she becomes his real friend like by the end of the movie.
Right,
it seems.
Right. I loved that
Soldier.
Too, and I thought that one was appropriate. They held true to the characters with that whole thing too. So not that this wasn't true to these two characters, like who's to say, but I could have done without it. However. I think there's always a reason for something. So there's a reason that came out about her character, and there's a reason they forced that little bit of a romance or something, whatever you want to call that. I don't think it was really romance.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call
it. It was tending toward that way. I mean, Joss has a reason for doing everything that he does. Like, he has very well thought out plans for his TV and film and everything. So obviously he thought it added something to, you know,
Agreed.
The movie. I don't think it necessarily needed to be there. I don't think it, like... took away from either of the characters in any way. And it kind of makes sense when you think about all the other Avengers. Like, they all have their own other relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, Tony's with Pepper, Thor is with Jane. What's his name? Hawkeye is apparently married.
What's his name? Apparently has a family.
Linda Cardellini.
Yeah. From Freaks and Geeks.
Two of them who are, without, like, family or significant relationships, and it kind of makes sense, you know, sort of with their histories and that they're a little bit of, like, outsiders, that they would bond in that way, so.
Well, and No, I was just going to say there was that really uncomfortable kind of weird scene in the first Avengers where the Hulk is, he's kind of clearly attracted to Black Widow, and he's, like, chasing her through the building almost, and she's able to kind of calm him down, but it was it's a weird kind of scene, so it does develop it from that scene in that first movie.
She said she sent after him, that S.H.I.E.L.D. sent her to go get him and recruit him.
Right. If you want to go a little deeper even with that relationship between the two of them, and M pointed this out to me, is that the only time that Black Widow is truly terrified is not terrified but truly afraid or has fear is when the Hulk is chasing her in the Avengers. When we did a whole marathon of all of the films right before we went to see Age of Ultron, and we made it. We were very, very proud. But when we were watching through Avengers, she said that to me. She's like, did you notice that the only time she's really afraid is when the Hulk is chasing her? And sometimes the thing that you're most afraid of is something that you're attracted to as well. So it's interesting how you can... Joss knows what he's doing.
Those were my wedding vows, actually.
That's appropriate.
That went over well.
I'm 6'6". I'm a monster. That's why my wife won't carry my seed. She's just afraid it'll split her in half.
Oh my god.
That's my loud voice. Sorry. What I think would be cool is if if the Blackbird actually crashed and he wasn't swimming to Fiji, but he was swimming to the Savage Land.
That'd be cool. Oh, that would be good.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
That'd be
cool.
Well, ready for another Hulk film too. Can I be honest? Like
With Ruffalo.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
Well, I think this movie did a really good job of fleshing out the three characters who didn't have movies themselves. I mean, Hawkeye, he's different from the guy in the comic books, but still, they made him into an interesting character just by having him something to protect and something to kind of like go back to and care about, because he did in the first. I mean, he really didn't have much to do in Avengers, the first one, other than being possessed. And so it was nice to see. I thought he was going to be a double agent because he was talking on the phone and he was like, who are you talking to? And he's like, a girlfriend. When earlier on he says he doesn't have a girlfriend. Yeah. And so it's just kind of, I thought that it was like we were given that information just to kind of see him as oh no, is Hawkeye going to be the traitor amongst them? And everything.
I would have cried.
Yeah. I would have
too. I can't deal with any more betrayal.
But I thought that was where it was going as well. I thought he was going to be a double agent too.
Oh, dude, I thought they were going to murder him. The way they built up his character and his relationship, and he's got future plans. He's got to work on that addition to the house, and he's got the kids and the wife and everything. I thought for sure that Joss was just setting us up to murder him, and so. When he goes back for that little kid, I thought, well, here it comes.
Yep, I thought so too.
The only reason I didn't think that is because I knew he was going to be in Cap 3. It's the only reason because they let that out, and I was like, okay, he's safe. But otherwise, this is totally his death movie.
Yeah,
and they had to kill off Quicksilver because they don't really own the rights.
Is that true? I was so bummed out when they did that.
Kind of, sorta.
Well, that's right. Yeah, they don't fully own the rights. That's why they have a whole different like.
That's why they don't call them Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. They call them by their names
because
they have the names to the rights to the names, not to the alter egos. I believe. I believe that's the skinny on that one.
Yeah. Not Maximoffs.
Yeah. What did they call? What was their last names in the movie?
They are Maximoff. Yeah, but they're not related to Magneto. That was
no, it. They're not. No. They were.
Yeah, they took that.
They volunteered for this program and were created, and we're not sure how exactly they're claiming that they were created by using Loki's scepter.
Licked it.
Yeah.
Like it was like the scepter, and you become a meta.
Right. So it's not even tying in with like the Inhumans string that's going on S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Right.
So they're kind of creating their own thing, which is good on you.
Whatever, we'll just make this work, guys.
They are. I think they are.
Don't think about it. Just accept this. Great. Let's move on.
Get that across to the entire fandom. See if it happens. Yep. It's never going to happen.
Well, you know what? There has been a pretty, like, most people have accepted it, I think, and just been like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing? Cool.
Yeah.
What I found interesting, though, is that when you ordered the tickets through Fandango, you get access to 7 free downloads through the Marvel app. None of those books correlate to the continuity that they establish in the movie. They're all Marvel continuity. Like, Hawkeye number 1 is a book they give you. He does not have Linda Cardellini next to him. Yeah.
They give you Matt Fraction's Hawkeye?
Indeed.
Yeah, that's such a completely different version of Hawkeye, which those Hawkeye fans, you can see why they're sort of upset about this whole version of Hawkeye.
Yeah, he doesn't want pizza or hate the world.
He's not it's going to be interesting. Disaster.
Yeah, he's not a walking
now
disaster.
That they married
that
him.
Clint Barton is.
I'm sorry, Ambush, go ahead.
They made him married and everything with them making a Mockingbird kind of spinoff series. I mean, what's going to happen there with the whole Mockingbird and Clint Barton with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
That is a good question.
Very good question.
And the other comic book, they actually had Magneto appear as the father of Wanda and Quicksilver. And they make them Roma as well. So she was buying a bad wedding dress.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The Roma Gypsy, yeah. It was odd.
Yeah, that's strange.
So what did you guys think of Vision?
Oh, I love him.
Oh, I thought he
But I've loved him since the comics. When I was on your guys' show a couple weeks ago, whatever the comic book was that you had me read that week, and I'm so sorry for forgetting it, Vision was in it. And the minute he called Coffee Jarvis Java, I loved him. So when it was fun being in the movie theater because you could tell who knew who he was and who didn't, because there was this like murmur going on through the crowd when they brought him to life in the film. And I was like, no, in my head I'm going, no, guys, it's okay. It's okay, he's cool. Just relax, it's okay. And I love the character. I thought it was hilarious how he like looks at Thor and then he goes, I want a cape, and makes himself a cape. Like, he's just, I thought it was so cool. I love the way they did it. I love the makeup. My God, the makeup.
I mean, the perfect moment, though, was when he's like, I don't know how I'm going to get you guys to trust me. Maybe you never will. And then he just picks up the hammer.
Yep. The hammer.
Mew, mew. And everyone
we'll get the Avengers to trust you.
Everyone in our theater lost their minds when that happened.
Everyone in every theater lost their mind with that.
Yeah, it was, I like the, I do think that they could have kind of explained his powers a little bit in some way. Because he was just starting to, like, he phased through people and he was ripping people apart, but it wasn't really explained, like, why does he have these density powers?
Maybe not yet.
Why does this Ultron? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that later on, but it felt like that was more of a fan service to putting that in the story, like, with the phasing powers and everything, that this isn't something that he maybe develops through time or gets upgraded and that's what happens, but... Ultron didn't have that power, and so there was no reason for him to have that density power in this, in the kind of like retrofit of how they were making like Ultron and Vision. I mean, they're in the comics, they're kind of related, but they were made by Hank Pym, and I think that there was a reason for the Vision's kind of phasing powers. I don't remember what it is though, but they don't really go that far into it.
See, in this one, I kind of just assumed it was from the Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
I think that was, like, sort of the purpose of that. For us to assume that.
Yeah. I have a question about something that was rumored to be in there, and maybe I blinked, but Captain Marvel, what's up?
Nothing?
No. So she wasn't there.
She was
supposed to.
I've heard through the grapevine that they did perhaps shoot something that was supposed to be with her, but it got scrapped for whatever reason. But no, she wasn't anywhere.
What I've heard is that there is actually the original running time for the movie that he turned in was about 3.5 hours.
Yes.
I would have watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would have too.
They're talking about releasing it as a director's cut or something. So
please and thank you.
I think we're gonna get it. Hopefully we'll get it. And that's my only real complaint about this movie is that I don't have the longer version of it because I do understand that there are some pacing problems with the film.
Right.
None of them really bothered me, though. I was in it to win it the entire time. I had a smile on my face the entire time. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that I don't really have any nits to pick about this movie. A lot of people on the internet seem to be upset at it, but I don't really have anything poor to say about it.
Do we know why they're upset about it, other than the whole Black Widow thing?
Well, there's the Black Widow thing, and then there's the other Black Widow thing, where I guess she talks about how she can't have children, and then in the same monologue or conversation, she calls herself a monster. So people are misinterpreting that to mean that she's a monster because she can't make babies, which is not the case. She was talking about all of the red on her ledger.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, people will find reasons to be annoyed at anything. Yeah.
Well, it's metaphors. People don't get metaphors anymore. it's always got to be.
People are.
There's a butt for every seat, and no matter. I kind of knew walking out of the movie theater that there were going to be people that were going to be upset. I didn't see them being so upset that they drove Joss Whedon off of Twitter, but I saw them being upset and pulling the feminist card and all of that, just because you can interpret a story so many different ways by yourself, and you can't always be told the correct version of it, like what the director meant or any of that.
One of the reasons he really jumped off Twitter was the movie did not meet revenue expectations.
No,
but it didn't do a bad job. I mean, come on, like $191 million or something opening weekend.
It's ridiculous. I mean, they did have the Pacquiao fight and the horse race thing.
The Derby.
The
thing where you wear big hats and drink mint juleps. That's all I know.
The bonnet race.
That's what that is.
Oh, I have to educate you all.
All I know is that, like, the horses, it's like, I don't trust the ones that wear masks. I don't know what they're hiding.
Oh, God.
Those are the superhero horses.
They are.
Oh, my God.
There's the masked horse, and then there's, like, the daredevil horses who just, like, take off their masks. And
my God. My horses are laughing at you all.
It's so you don't feel bad for the horses when they take the losers to the glue factory.
Oh,
poor horses.
You know, there was one thing that...
So she's taking that personally.
And two of mine were saved from the glue factory. Thank you very much.
I like horses. I'm nothing...
There was one thing that confused me in Age of Ultron, though, and I just recently found the answer. I could not, for the life of me, understand why the Hulkbuster armor was called Veronica.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Go.
Because the woman he loved was named Betty. So the opposite of Betty, according to Archie, is Veronica. And therefore, the only one who could fight him was Veronica.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Bruce Banner's not even a soulless ginger.
I love that. I thought that was really fun. I thought that was really
cute.
That
is awesome. Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, I thought it was really sweet.
I did really love that. I kept saying this when he gets in his suit and he puts in the chip for Friday. Friday has an Irish accent. I love
that.
Yes,
she did.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but we kept being like, she's Irish. This is great.
Listen, who was that, though? Make it better.
Was that like whose voice was Friday?
It's an actress. I looked her up after the movie, and
so
she's
did
been
I.
in a couple episodes of like well known actress or anything.
She's been in The Walking Dead.
She was Clara. Do you remember that like crazy woman that Rick
in the
woods?
Oh, my gosh.
Right. With the head in the bag.
Yes, the crazy Irish woman with the head in the bag. Oh wow.
That was her.
That's
the
awesome.
Bag lady, if you will.
The bag lady.
It's not like the German woman with the head in the bag. That
totally different episode. Yes. Now, do you guys have any negatives? Let's go down the line. Ambush Bug. Any negatives?
Negatives.
Carrie Condon, by the way, is the name of that actress. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I want to say that this is a positive, but I could see it be annoy people with the whole thing where they would do an ultra slow-mo and it would be almost like a splash page.
Oh, I loved it.
I love that.
And I think that comic readers love that, but I think that it's almost like Zack Snyder-esque, way. So it's like he's walking a fine line. I do think that there was a lot of stuff in this one that I think comic readers would know, but then like necessarily, I don't think people who were just like going to the movie and have just seen the movies, I don't know if they would know all that stuff, like the Vision stuff, like the fact that they were called the twins. And I don't think they really said like Pietro and Wanda that much. I mean, it was just kind of like said in passing. So it's like, for the most part, they were just called the twins the whole time. And that kind of annoyed me. It felt like, all right, we need to know and care about these characters. Let's kind of give them something other than just being the twins who look weird and do weird things. So that was me. That was mine, I think.
Kate, what do you got?
Well, the fact that it was only 141 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I didn't really have a ton of negative. I wasn't, like I said earlier, I wasn't overly thrilled with the romance. It didn't have to be there, but it was a great movie. Joss Whedon can do a pano like no other, and I just loved it. I thought it was well paced, and yeah, no other negatives.
M.
My only issue again was, you know, the whole love story thing. I could have done without, but not as Kate said, we had discussed it. You know, wasn't the end all be all, like, ugh, why is this here? It furthered character development, la da la la. I just like my superhero movies with less romance. That's all.
See, I feel like they didn't have enough romance. I think they needed to have an awkwardly long sex scene like in Watchmen.
Oh, God. That movie?
With the Hulk and Black Widow.
That movie.
And of course he hulks out.
He hulks out and then he goes back to Banner. And it's like, yeah.
Oh, I can't. That is the only movie I was in theaters that my ass fell asleep, and I was like, why am I still here?
Optimus.
I think this takes like...
Uh-oh.
...other movies to truly buy and understand and
love. Stop it.
Love.
Stop it. Shut up. Try it again.
Broke
up. I didn't catch any of it.
You were cutting out.
Sorry, come back to me. Come back to me.
Les.
Oh, I mean, kind of piggybacking off of Cade's with the time limitation, I think because of that, it was a very dense movie. Like, they packed a lot of story, like, sort of wrapping up a lot of character stories from previous movies and setting up stuff for future several movies. So there was a lot of story in there, which I didn't mind having, you know, been a fan and seen all the movies and sort of knowing what's coming up. But I think for someone sort of just coming into it, or someone who's just seen like maybe the first Avengers and is seeing this, there's a lot to take in. And I mean, just because of that, I think it kind of benefits from multiple viewings, which I obviously don't mind, but not everyone likes, you know, going to see a movie multiple times. So well, I think that's kind of a downside for some people. For some people.
I was just saying it is getting kind of dense, the continuity. And I'm just wondering when's a reboot going to be happening? Because it just seems like things are getting, I mean, you're right. I do think that you couldn't just go into this movie not seeing any of the other stuff. I think that you would really miss out on a lot of stuff. I think Captain America was really underutilized in this movie too.
Oh, really? I loved him in this.
I think he was great, yeah, but I don't think... other than him like kind of having a couple of really good one-liners, there really wasn't a lot for him to do. I mean, Tony was the cause of it all. Thor had to go to that, I don't know, the Lazarus pit and find out what the hell's going on.
DC!
I know, sorry. But like, and like Hawkeye, Black Widow, Hulk, all of those guys had stuff. But Captain America was just kind of there. And then he was like leading.
But you
leading
have to think he also has his own movies, whereas those, don't. So
that's what I was.
And if
thinking.
I may, his second movie is probably one of my favorite of the entire run.
Oh,
it is.
Agreed.
It's the best. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's already had like a really good chance to shine.
I have to wonder if people are going to give a fuck. I mean, middle America, the average people not steeped in geekdom who do pay for the glut of these movie sales. I have to wonder if they're going to give a fuck about Avengers 2. Given the fact that we didn't really get a lot about Wanda, War Machine and Falcon are sort of sideline buddies, even the sideline, the nod to Wakanda, are they going to reach the same heights as you reached with the same iconic characters that are now saying bye-bye like Iron Man? Anything created by Stan Lee?
Yeah.
But to be fair, Iron Man... When they first announced that they were doing the Iron Man movies, people were like, oh, you're pulling out your B-team now.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah, no, very fair. That's fair.
That's one of the things that I think they've done well is they've taken their B characters, to me, who are B characters. Even Captain America, I consider him a B character. I just I do not care about him, except for in this incarnation. So.
Oh, he's A-list all the way. He's got a beard as forehead.
Yeah, and I don't really care about Joe Biden, but that doesn't negate him being vice president of the fucking United States. You can't really do that as a fair comparison. Sorry.
The other thing was that, like, things like Ulysses Klaue, the guy that showed up. And it's like... That was interesting and fun, but it's like, I think that would go over the head of anybody who hasn't read the books.
It went over my head. It went over my head until I read an article that I was like, the 7 Easter eggs that you didn't know were in Age of Ultron. Yeah. And it told me what that one was. And I went, oh, and I read comics. So.
Yeah. I didn't know who that was either.
Yeah.
I'm not used to, I've only most recently seen him in Daredevil. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that he would probably be set up for a villain in Black Panther, right?
Yep. But,
that's where that's going.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. I'll tell
you what. What's his name? What is his, Lord of the Rings. What's his name?
Andy Serkis.
He beefed up. I didn't realize it was him. I was like, oh, that looks like Andy Serkis, but like huge.
Was it him?
It was him.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah.
Yep. He really, he beefcaked up.
And he got a little scruffy beard thing going on.
He got his teeth fixed and Rogaine for men as well. I mean, chin really strap. Nothing like his Gollum appearance. You're right. Yeah. Just nothing like
the magic of the movies.
He didn't mention Precious once.
And anorexia.
He's recovering, okay?
Eat a sandwich, Andy. We need you in fucking Avengers.
He got a tan, too. So, you know, got him out of the cave.
He's a completely different person.
Yes.
Well, this has been pretty much a love fest for Age of Ultron. I guess we all loved it.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
Were you guys absolutely blown away by the after credits sequence?
Oh, that was lame.
Yeah, no. I thought it was lame, too.
The fucking Sony emails ruined it for everybody.
Not only that, but it wasn't a surprise. Like, Thanos has been in other films, and if you're following along, you kind of know what the Infinity Gauntlet is, even if you're not a comic book person. You know what the Infinity Gauntlet is, and you know that that's his ultimate goal. And just for him being like, fine, I'll do it myself. Okay.
Yeah. But still kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was cool, but it was just disappointing. Like, I mean, I know Josh said that he...
I mean, listen, it was no shawarma.
It was not shawarma.
But he could have done something equivalent to shawarma. Like we said, Clint hanging out at the farm. People would have been perfectly happy with that.
With the nail bow.
Yes. Nail bow, yeah. Nail bow.
You know what they missed? They should have tied in Ant-Man somehow.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Since that's the next one coming up.
I really think they're keeping that at arm's length. If it's a hit, I'm sure he'll be back, but they're not sure
about that one.
Yeah.
No.
So.
Well, we're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. But see, Ant-Man has the Paul Rudd principle. Any movie with Paul Rudd is made slightly better by the appearance of Paul Rudd.
Yes, true. But pause. It also has the Evangeline Lilly factor.
I'm sorry. Did you see One Hot Crazy Summer and you're still attesting to that theory?
Because it was slightly better.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a great movie, too.
Wet Hot American Summer is one of the best comedies of all time.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to go hump the fridge.
All right, Deb, sorry. We're diverting.
Oh, God, I love that movie. Anyways, and there's a TV show coming now, too. I'm excited.
Oh, thank God.
Listen, any movie with Paul Rudd, even if it is a horrible movie, like that Ten Commandments movie, terrible.
Oh, the Ten.
There was a Ten Commandments with Paul Rudd in it?
Oh, I was at the screening for that, and it was a thing.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Was he Moses?
No, he was the kind of the guy who was just like, hey, listen to all these tales. It was weird.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But made it better because Paul Rudd was in it.
Before we adjourn, does everyone have like a favorite scene in the film that they want to discuss, maybe? Dude. I'm gonna give you my favorite line.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, for the love of God.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, with Ultron.
Yeah. Of all the lines in that movie, it's such a simple thing, but it stuck with me after leaving the theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
I think I liked, even though Robert Downey Jr.'s snark often bothers me, but when he sees Ultron in the final form, he goes, you know, I don't want to make this weird, but have you been juicing? I don't want to say you're. I don't want to say you're fluffy, but then you're punched. I just like that.
I also like go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep.
Yes.
Oh, that was funny too. Yeah.
I loved his little yay when he discovered that the secret door. I mean, come on.
Please be secret door. Please be secret door. Yay.
Yes. You know what though about that scene? So he has his armor. He makes the armor, you know, a sentry, and it just sort of hovers there and, I don't know, watches Netflix or something while he's doing stuff. And then he's like, "Oh, I'm in the bad guy's castle. Also, it's a castle, and I'm gonna go in this locked door and go down these steps without my armor on."
Yeah. But that seemed
there's a lot of maskless stuff going on still. I mean, Chris Evans wore his helmet like twice.
Yep. Right.
And it, I don't know. I understand that they got to show the stars' faces and everything, but it's kind of frustrating when you always have to see Robert Downey Jr. and always have to see Chris Evans. And Thor has like worn his helmet for like 5 seconds in the
Does
two.
Thor ever wear his helmet?
Never. And that
yeah, he did.
Me.
I think it's more ceremonial though.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's hanging out with Odin and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interdimensional travel. Interdimensional travel. He needs a helmet.
Oh, okay. That's the line.
Any other faves?
I have to say Thor's face when Captain America is pulling at the hammer and moves is favorite thing.
Yeah,
that was great.
That whole party scene may be
was
my favorite.
Fabulous.
Thing.
Yeah.
Some people were complaining about that party scene and how it was, you know, it brought the movie to a halt and it was just sort of.
That
was one of my favorite bits. And that's having the entirety of the Marvel cast in there for the most part. I thought, you know. I was stoked. I loved
Stan Lee getting drunk on
War Machine story.
Yep.
Excelsior. That was awesome. Come on.
And a War Machine story, you said? Someone was talking about War Machines when he was trying to tell a story.
He was trying to tell a story during the party. Yeah, that got funny. But I know that wasn't one of us.
That got funny.
That got funny. It wasn't one of us. I think, honestly, and I usually... Even when I'm watching TV, I tend to lean more towards the episodes of TV that have more character development. So I think one of my favorite scenes was early in the movie when Tony and Banner are in the lab and they're looking at the Matrix for the Tesseract. And he's like, we could do this. It could happen. And how they're just like science broing out.
Yeah,
that was probably one of my favorite scenes, and it's one of the much more quieter scenes of the movie, but I really like that stuff.
That was almost I didn't dig the 3-day montage to create the Ultron complex. It felt like a montage.
I'll give you that, I also think we got to see a bit more of like if you look at the end of Avengers, Banner and Stark are driving off in the car together, and this is where they wound up. Like in the lab and working on this stuff.
So that's a good point.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool to tag onto that. And I tend to like I love the action, don't get me wrong, but I just like the quieter moments where you kind of get a little bit more of their characters. My favorite line from the film, though, comes right at the end when Captain America says, "What if you put the hammer in an elevator? Elevator's not working." Probably my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah. It's so much to love about this film, and I'm kind of bummed that it seems to be getting a bad rep on the internet. A lot of people are nitpicking.
Yeah, they are. They're being really, really nitpicky. And like Em said early on, people will always find something to complain about. But it's unfortunate that it's about a movie that I think is really good, and it gave us like a bunch of Easter eggs toward films that are coming in the future. So
I think it definitely lived up to the first film. Like, it was a great sequel.
Yeah, absolutely. Come you know what? Before I even went in to go see this film, everyone was getting really pumped and really excited, and they'd be asking me, "Oh, are you excited?" I'm like, "I will be when I'm in the theater." But you know, I think I was afraid that all of my love of the original Avengers relied mostly on the geek in me finally seeing all of these different characters interacting in one film.
Right.
And I was afraid that that was sort of the be all end all of it. And I didn't know if it would have that sort of magic this time around. And I still loved it, man. I had a smile on my face the entire time. I was laughing like an idiot. Good times.
Yeah. There were some scenes that I just like, I couldn't stop smiling. Like the original, the opening scene, and then in the snow and all that stuff, and the final big battle when they do the whole like bullet time vision where they circle around everybody and everybody's fighting and doing their thing.
I couldn't even look at it all.
Yeah.
That's why you need to watch it multiple times, because there's
why I went twice. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to go again. My mom texted me, "Did you see it yet?" So I get to take her to see it.
Yeah,
so.
I get to take my mom to see it too. I'm excited.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, my mom loves Robert Downey Jr. So she
so does mine.
She's seen all of the Iron Mans and she loves them. So yeah.
I'm still working on getting her to watch Iron Man 3. I myself just saw Iron Man 3 for the first time on Thursday. So
I love that movie.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. M was there for it. It was great.
Aww. I gotta say, I liked it better the second time around. I saw it in theaters and wasn't too enthused.
Thrill. Oh, I love 3. 3's
that
better than 2.
A bad rap, but I love it too.
Yeah. I like the connection.
I mean, like I said, watching it the second time, I was like, no, you know what? I like this. I'm still weirded out by the whole needless Christmas thing.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah,
that's his whole
so
thing.
Weird.
I know it's the director's whole thing, but at the same time, like I don't this adds nothing. you just wanted some snow and a giant rabbit. I get it, but no.
Well, it's like Sam Raimi's thing with the car. It's just, you know, a little quirk.
Yeah.
But, well, I'm glad we all loved it. Thank you so much. I'm glad we were able to team up for this podcast.
This was great. It was fun.
Very last minute, so I'm glad it worked out. Yeah.
We should have one where we disagree on something once. That would
be fun. We'll work on
that. That would be entertaining.
That would be really great. We'll definitely work on that.
Well, you know, I was going to start off saying that I hated this movie, and it was dreck, and it just was a piece of shit, but then I couldn't. I was too excited.
The lilt to your voice would give it all away. Yeah. I hated every minute of this. It was terrible.
Sploosh. Oh. all right. Well, let us part ways. Ladies, thank you so much for letting us be on your podcast.
And thank you for letting us be on yours.
And yours.
Same. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Hopefully we will get together again soon.
Yes.
Yes. Quite. Definitely.
Take care.
Have a good one.
Bye. Bye, ladies.